The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. Lord, I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is November 7th, 2022. What was that? Was that a pleasure? Was that a gem or what? I actually remember that show quite well. I think I was pretty, I had a little Jabberwocky issue going on. I was really talkative, and Ron was a little silent. Well, we have to drag him in here once in a while, but Ron, are you there? Ron McDonald, not yet. He's not here yet. Okay, he'll be here shortly. No, that was a gem to listen to. I love that. And it's funny is that the very first caller, Rob from Wisconsin, now Rob from Chicago, now Rob from actually he's from Missouri now, is a very good friend of mine. He's actually one of my good sources. He finds all kinds of great information and texts me and email me. So he's a very reliable person. Now, we disagree on some things. We had some issues on QAnon. I'm a QAnon believer. I don't. But other than that, Rob's a great guy, and he contributes quite a bit to RBN here. So happy to have him on board. I actually just texted him a little bit. He goes, "Hey, Rob, you're the first caller tonight, going back to April 9th, 2018." I've had to think about this. Where was I? Oh, I was brand new in Florida at the time. I'd left in 17, November, I think it was, October, November of 2017, left California. Made my way over to Round Rock. I had to meet John Stadmiller for the first time. I had to meet him. He talked about coming on the network, and I thought, I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll come through. We'll talk. We'll see how it goes. And I'll never forget walking into the studio. And Julie is the receptionist. She's there, and she says, "May I help you?" "Yes. I'm Steve from California." And her eyes kind of look, "Steve in California? The guy calls in?" "Yeah, that's me." And I said, "Here to see John." So he's here. So I walk back there and see John for the first time. And we shake hands, and we talk for a little bit. And he says, "I got a show coming up in another half an hour. Do you want to sit across the table from me here and do a show?" "Love to. Let's do it. Let's have some fun." Ended up doing two shows before I got back in my car and headed down to Florida. But it was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun. It's easier doing radio when you're right across from somebody. It's like, you know, like Larry King, you know, Larry King is right there. I can see Larry King. And I know when he's going to, you know, go forward and start talking. And I know it's my turn to start adding something to the conversation. And I'm right across from John, and I'm studying John. And I think he's kind of studying me. He's like, "Who is this guy?" But, I jumped right in. I guess said later on, John and I went out for dinner that night, sat down, and, I said, "Yeah, I'd like to be part of the team. But, if you want Ed McMahon, you got the wrong guy, because I'm not a yes guy. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to disagree with you. I'll agree with you. But at the end of the night, it's still friends and we move on." But that relationship grew. It grew quite well, to a point even that John said, "I'm taking a vacation." "So where are you going to go?" "Well, I'd like to come down and see you." "Really? Are you serious?" Yeah, get your car. Come on down." So he came down, and we had a great time for a whole week down here in Florida. And I was set up in this little, it's a small house in an HOA. The HOA Nazis were telling me what I could and could not do. And John said, how you live with this? I said, I'm not. We're going to look for another place, either that or build. But I took him all around town, showed him around everywhere, and he was fascinated with alligators. It was funny. We'd be driving around the lakes. We got lakes everywhere down here. There's lakes everywhere, and everybody's got a boat except me. But it's in the plans to get a boat. So we're driving along, and we go by a house. Everybody's got a dock. And there's a huge gator. It's a good-sized gator. It's probably a 9-10-foot gator sunning himself on a dock. John screams out, "Gator!" Where? Yeah, that's gator. We'll go down this road. You'll see plenty of them. Pull over quick! And are you serious? Yeah, pull over. I got to take a picture. So I said, okay. And I didn't tell John, you know, when he got out of the car, he kind of ran over to the dang thing, which is what you don't want to do sometimes. You know, you have this little option on your phone where you can kind of bring in the object closer in and take a picture. And John's running up to the gator, and the gator gets startled, and he takes off and jumps in the water. And I said, John, did you forget about that little function on your phone? You can stand back about 30 feet, 40 feet, and pull it in close. Oh, yeah. I said, I'm going to pull you in the water here. And, well, we lost John to a gator. But, you know, he had a fun time down here. He had a lot of fun, and I enjoyed his company down here. And we did a lot of talks and conversations. We stayed up in the early morning hours talking about world problems and solutions and the direction of this country. And, you know, John was always big on the funny money system. We got to fix this funny money system, which Rob, the first caller, talked about. You know, hope we'll fix the funny money system here. And Ron McDonald has always said, agreed, you know, this is a problem. The money system, the central banking has always been a huge problem. And now we're going to that direction now, of course, going into a digital currency, which I thought, well, we don't want to do this because that's controlling. It's definitely going to control us. But now the central banks want to get into digital currency. They want to control the digital currency. So we have these bastards back in the game again to control our money system here. And this is not a good thing. Do we have Ron yet or not? Michael, do we have Ron yet? Interesting. Okay, if you do that, it'd be great. Yeah, we have some topics we want to talk about tonight, about the January 6th and the insurrection. He'd done some homework, and he found out some information. I thought it's very pertinent to, well, the whole situation, you know. I think about it, you know, the Department of Justice here, they did their little investigation, and they decided, nah, there's nothing here. But then you have this group of people, this group of people, their little star chamber. They hate Donald Trump. They're all biased. They're all haters of Trump. Have come together. Basically, it's a kangaroo court. And they said, well, you know, the Department of Justice didn't find something, but we will. But is it related to this whole January 6th riot at the Capitol? Oh, we'll go through his taxes. We'll go through this. Well, that's, wait a minute, that's not January 6th. That's taxes. And exactly what they've been doing. This is a dragnet by the January 6th committee to find something they can use to disqualify him for 2024. So they're hard at work at it, but they got nothing. They really got nothing. And, you know, I know Donald Trump is not the cleanest guy. Billionaires make money by cutting corners and zoning and all these different things, money under the table. They know how to grease a politician. They know how to do all that stuff. He's done pretty much what other people do. And they'll say when they get caught, well, we all do it. That's the way the system is. That's how things get done in America. So basically, one does it, we all do it, everybody's to blame, but the system is the way it is. And nobody actually really works to change the system. I mean, you're talking about the billionaires, the people who build this country, who invest in this country. Nobody wants to stifle these people. Nobody wants to stop them. Because if they do, then America's economy comes crashing down. We need the billionaires to invest in the country. And so, therefore, we look the other way. We look the other way when the billionaires do their little building projects. They build their skyscrapers because they bring in people, they bring in offices, they bring in businesses, corporations to these buildings. And so it's a profitable thing that everybody does well. The taxation is there. It takes the burden off the people, the little guy here. His taxes don't have to go up really because the corporations will now be taxed pretty well because of the money they generate. But again, there's tax laws. There's tax loopholes there also. But do we have him yet or not? Michael, nothing?
I'm trying his phones. I don't know. He's just not joining yet.
That's interesting. He knows to be in the second hour. He knows. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some other issues here until John gets here. John gets here. Oh, my God. What a Freudian slip. I wish John was here. Wife and I were listening to the broadcast here. I made a little dinner for her. And so I'm listening on the stereo in the other room off the Grace Digital. And we're cutting up a little bit of dessert at the end there. We had a little bit of watermelon, and she said to me, what do you think John would think right now? And I said, what do you mean? Well, what do you think John would think about everything right now? I said, well, everything was heading in a very bad direction before John left us, and he was very upset by it. We would have conversation, and he would just be very upset. The politicians, everything. These people that were harping, coming after Trump. He wasn't allowed to do his job. These phony investigations, these Russiagate, everything they can possibly think of. I think what really got him really angry was the number one and number two of the impeachments. These things were not called for. They had no justification, but it didn't stop them from trying to stop him from doing his job. And that's exactly what happened here. It takes you away from your job working for the American people when you have to go on the defense and defend your honor and defend your everything. You have to defend yourself, and you take you're taken away from doing your job for the American people. Excuse me for that. I've got some upper respiratory thing going on here, and I'm still working through it. Excuse me. But, you know, that's exactly one of the things I worry about right now. You know how I feel about Donald Trump. But so what's really going to change if Donald Trump comes back into the race here again and he gets elected? He's going to be the most hated man. And these guys are not going to give up. They're not going to give up. Mainstream media will not give up. If one thing I would give advice to Donald Trump, if he comes back in and decides he wants to be president of the United States, I would say, first of all, there's no obligation. You have no obligation to sit down or invite people into the White House from the mainstream media. They've all turned their backs on you. They've all gone after you like a pack of wolves. So let's learn something from this time. Let's learn something from last time. And let's not invite the wolf back into the house here. Let's settle on looking at the independent media. And there's many independent media sources out there that I would trust way far over the mainstream media. So let's go in a different direction this time. Let's find independent media, and let's go that direction. And that's the direction you should go in. Cut these people out completely. You have no obligation to go on any of the mainstream media outlets there to talk to the American people. You can do it through the independent media. That's a good start. Play hardball. Play hardball. Come in. Fire everybody from the Biden administration. Fire them all. There's not one good one. There's not one trustworthy one. Don't take a chance. Think of this as you're taking over a football team. This happens all the time. Nobody seems to complain about that. The firing and turnover in a football team. You buy the company, you buy the team, you come in, and you fire the coaches. You don't keep anybody. You fire the coaches, you fire players, and you bring in the best people on coaching and the best people for the players, and you rebuild your team. He made some serious mistakes by keeping these holdovers from the Obama administration. First thing I ever pointed out, I remember talking about this. The holdovers, mistake, don't do it. Think of this as your own business enterprise. Now, he had that little show, The Apprentice, and, you know, his corporation was so important, and he played this little part of, you know, I'm happy with your success, you're doing a great job, compliments, you're doing a lousy job, and at the end there, if they were doing really lousy and they just were not productive, he didn't keep anybody who wasn't productive. Why would you? I wouldn't either. So you're productive, you're great, I'm keeping you, I'm going to give you a promotion, you're going up the ladder here. You're not productive, you've been given chances after chances, and now you've failed, you're fired. And he always enjoyed saying that, too. He always enjoyed saying, you're fired, you know, and get rid of you and find somebody who can do the job. That's exactly the attitude he needs to take to the White House. Now, he has the ability, first of all, he has the ability to find the best of the best, and staff his team that way. And now you have to be careful now, because he's had some bad advisors. He's got to have somebody and some oversight, somebody honest to be the oversight to say, I've checked this guy out, I think he's okay. Or there's something in his past here, I don't think he's the guy. Let's keep looking and find the best people for the job. Now I started thinking about, you know, Mike Pence is out. Mike Pence was a traitor to Donald Trump. There's no chance in the world Mike Pence will ever make it back into the White House if Trump's there. But I started thinking about him. We know Ron DeSantis is staying down here in Florida, and I'm actually happy for that. He's doing a fine job down here, and I know he'll have his chance someday. He's going to wait. He's going to wait it out. He's going to still fix some things down here in Florida and then probably hand it off to somebody else that he respects and believes will do, carry the ball just as he has done, and then look to, you know, getting entrance to the White House. So I started thinking about number two, vice president. You know, vice president really isn't a really good training ground. It really is not. It never really has been. Vice presidents, they get these little BS jobs, and you got to do this, and it's more like a PR thing. They'll send you off to foreign countries, and you got to fluff and puff and do all these little things. So it's really not a good, you know, a proving ground, training ground to step into the shoes of the president, if that ever happens to be. So I started thinking about it, and just recently, we saw Tulsi Gabbard kind of shake things up here. Now, I don't like everything that Tulsi Gabbard talks about. I am not a warmonger. I look at these wars as failed wars, lies that got us into wars, and she's mentioned that, the lies that got us into wars, but then she's also carried it further to say, well, we're there, and so we have to defend ourselves and stay and do this and that. No. When you find out you've been lied into a war and you're there, you look for your exit to get the hell out. So I started thinking about her, and she's been pretty ballsy lately. I got to say, she's been pretty ballsy. She's pointed fingers at the Democrat Party. This party, the Democrat Party, is not the party that she ever remembered. I remember Democrats back when I was a kid, you know, the union guy, the guy that worked at the factory, you know, stuff like that. The guy worked with his hands, and not didn't have a whole lot of education, but he was a union man. And, you know, he believed in the unions, which are, what 9% of our workforce these days. But it was a different Democrat Party back then to what today is. It's amazing. It's night and day. And the Democrat Party stands for pretty much everything below the bar. The bar has been lowered, and it's lowered and lowered. And the Democrat Party pretty much stands for everything that's low below the bar. It's not the same Democrat Party. It took her a long time to finally realize that. I'm surprised she didn't ditch this party eons ago. But this is nothing that happened overnight. This has been a trending way of make everybody happy. I think that's pretty much the motto of the Democrat Party is, we love you all, we make everybody happy, and, well, we drop the standards and morality, ethics, everything. Everything goes. We love it. And if you like it, we like it, and that's what we want to stand for. So she's come out and she's pointed fingers at the Democrat Party and seems more of a conservative. So don't be surprised if Donald Trump has a little talk with Tulsi Gabbard and we find out that Tulsi Gabbard will be the VP choice for Donald Trump if he decides to come back to the race. So we'll see. We'll see. Do we have Ron McDonald yet?
Can you hear me, Steve?
I hear you fine. Hey, Ron. Nice to join us. We played a clip from April 9th, 2018, and it was talking about false flags. It was nice to listen to that show. I remember that show so well. And we were all chiming in, going back and forth, talking about Syria, false flags, Assad, the whole false flag of gassing his people and all these different things. And it was a good discussion. It brought back some great memories for me.
Well, I listened to the last 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I turned it on just to hear John's voice.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's still hard to believe, you know, just a little over a year now. It's a year and 2 days since John left. And, you know, I had some great memories. And I know you did as well because you've known John a lot longer than I ever have. But do you want to share anything? Ron, do you want to share a special moment you had with John?
Anything clean. We were going. We're in a convertible car going across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh yeah.
And as we're going across, he's looking up and saying, "Wow, this is beautiful." Not paying attention to driving. That sticks in my mind more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a fast driver, too.
Yeah, he was.
He loved to go fast. He's got the same car I have, Mazda 3, and he loves to go fast. He's got a major lead foot. But, yeah, I can imagine. And actually, you know, going over the Golden Gate Bridge is an amazing, amazing thing to do. I still, I'm not there anymore, but every time I had a chance to go to the Bay Area, I did. I was in amazement. This beautiful bridge to look up and the structure itself to drive over it and the park on the other side there. It is an amazing, amazing structure. And it never got old. It never got old. I think that's one of the things I miss about California, plus the wine country and making my own wine. But I do miss Chinatown, eating in Chinatown. I miss the concerts in the Bay Area, and I miss the Golden Gate Bridge and the Bay Area Bridge. I just miss that area, but it's not the same place anymore.
I grew up there. I swam in Flyshacker's pool, the largest pool in the world at the time, and went to Playland at the beach, the whole thing. It was such a beautiful city.
Yeah,
but now the criminal element has taken control.
Yeah, I had on my bucket list before I left, and never happened. I was into kayaking, so I did a lot of kayaking, and I had this idea that I could take my kayak, put it in, and I wanted to kayak under the Golden Gate Bridge over to Angel Island and back. And everybody said, you know how swift the waters are, cold the water is there. You know, and you got those big barges coming in there. What are you going to do when the barges come? They don't see you. And it never happened. I did want to take my kayak and go under the Golden Gate Bridge and look up from that angle and over to Angel Island, Alcatraz, and come back. And it never happened. I never succeeded in that bucket list.
Well, I had no desire to go out that far in a kayak, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, we got a caller on the line here, and I want to talk. I told everybody in the first hour, in the second hour, we would talk about what you discussed with me today about the insurrection, and I want to go in that direction also. Maybe talk a little bit about Elon Musk and Twitter, free speech. There's a lot of stuff there that I scratch my head on right now, and would love to throw it your way to see what you think. But let's take this first caller here, John in Oklahoma. You're on. John, are you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Greetings. What's on your mind?
You guys were talking about false flags earlier. Let's go back to the War of 1812. Remember the Maine was our very first false flag. I'm a history buff. I also I found shortwave in the early 70s as a young child. I was in Scouts. That was one of my merit badges. And I heard the first pastor talk about this and thought, why isn't my pastor telling me these things? And it was one of those learning lessons that it opened doors that you never thought were even there. The false flags go way further back than most people even realize.
Well, let me ask you, in your circle of friendship, the friends you have, is that a foreign term to them? Do they know what a false flag is?
Yes, sir, they do. I actually live on a Choctaw Indian reservation.
Yeah.
And so after the forced march through the Trail of Tears, which was planned 20 years ahead of time, everybody wants to go about Lincoln this, Lincoln that. Who do you think and planned most of this Indian relocation? The Battle of Wounded Knee. Yeah. He was an Indian agent before he was president. There's a lot of history that is being hidden if you don't want to go looking for it.
You know, John, I believe a lot of our history is false. I think there's been a lot of a lot of indoctrination of disinformation and false information. Looking back on history, looking back, and I've found plenty of things, not only just the Civil War itself, but many things. I mean, Ron, you probably could say the same thing, too. We were lied to about this. We were lied about this.
Yeah.
And I don't quite understand why Americans, you know, they read something. And I had a discussion with somebody once. They said, well, it's true. It's in the book. What do you mean? Are you telling me that it couldn't be... It couldn't be written in the book in error and following somebody's agenda. You don't think that's possible? And at the time, he thought, it's been fact checked and it's in print now, so it must be true.
After December of 1913, there's no doubt that it's an agenda. Yeah. December of 1913, we were sold out.
Yeah.
So stop and think about. We have the War of 1812, which is our second Revolutionary War. My great-great-great-grandfather chased him off the land I'm sitting on right now. And this is family lore that they would sit down every Thanksgiving and give thanks that we had the ability to chase them off of. Now, we're all devout Christians. I mean, we're not what most people think. But even in the 1960s, when I was born, this place might have been 1940s. You could still go downtown on Christmas and see department stores with toys in the windows and walk along with your family. And this was the 60s. Everybody else was going through this psychedelic thing, and we're still holding to what was old. So our history is very dear to us. You can ask any Native American about giants or any other subject you want to get into. Their history is still as real as it was that day.
All right, John, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Open
yes,
phone sir. Lines, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. If you want to give a call in and give an account or an interesting story, or maybe John hung up on you like you did me. Ron, you knew that. John hung up on me before. You knew that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he did. We were talking about San Francisco, and I mentioned something with the homeless, and I referred to the drug addicts, the homeless, as mud people, and John did not like the word mud people, and he hung up on me.
Ah.
All right, commercial break here. We'll come back with your phone calls, 512-248-8252. We are looking for donations tonight in memory of John Stadmiller, and so we can pay for this air conditioning here and at least put the money back in the account and for a later date. Stay tuned.
Can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay, but I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne, I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on. Now I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth, but I have to have things my own way to keep me in my youth. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain, just a thought of those sweet ladies as they shiver through my veins. And I will go on shining, shining like brand new. I'll never look behind me, my troubles will be few.
512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Well, that's a band we can all look back at, and some really good times. Breakfast in America, Supertramp. Great stuff there for Bumper tonight. And it looks like we got another caller on the line here, so we'll go take that call. And then we're going to get into the January 6th biased committee here with Ron and talk about some other definitions, redefining of the terms, redefining the definition of is that Congress has established here. But let's take this call first. Fred in Michigan. Welcome, Fred.
Hey there. One issue or issue, as the Brits would say, right? The burning issue for me initially with 6th January, the so-called infamous insurrection, and the BBC, by the way, said it was absolutely the most infamous, violent act in American history.
I think even going far as saying worse than 9/11, the World Trade Center attacks, worse than that.
And they're all Jews.
Yeah.
They're all Jews saying it. BBC, wherever, Schumer, Chucky the Chuckster, what is it? That guy is a flaming, toxic, Franken swine slime piece of crap. Anyway,
Fred, tell me how you really feel.
you guys don't want to
tell me how
that,
you really right? feel about these guys.
I have a sidearm. You ever hear of a company called Steyr? Steyr.
No.
Yeah, well, it's built to last. When they torture test their equipment, they throw it in rivers. They have a truck run over it, and then they determine its degree of accuracy. Well, anyway, that's what I have. Okay, and there have been times in the not distant past when some local yokel schmuckles, you know, donkey conk morons, were throwing M100s in my backyard, okay, to celebrate the high holidays, okay? So I picked up my buddy Steyr, and I paid them a visit. Anyway.
Well, you know, I want to go back to something you called in last night. You had some... I don't want to take tons of time because we got other stuff we want to talk about. But you had some stuff you wanted to throw by Ron last night. Get to that real quick.
Yeah, Ron, great to know you're there.
Thank you.
There is a fella. Well, there's two. Well, actually three. Real quick. Lighthouse Law Club. The guy's name is Mark Emery. Mark Emery, Lighthouse Law Club. He does a presentation on YouTube by the title "Admiralty Black's Law Equals Fraud," and it's all about status, standing, and agency, as well as a silver bullet presentation on courtroom tactics from the adversary. And then from you know, for our benefit, the silver bullet, Dirty Harry neutralizers that are all etched in stone. He goes through all of that. It's absolutely phenomenally enlightening and empowering. I hope you'll check it out. Again, it's Admiralty Black's Law Equals Fraud, Lighthouse Law Club on YouTube. And the next one is David Merrill. And let's see, YouTube channel Jack Boston or Boston Jack. It's one. It probably doesn't matter. Jack Boston, Boston Jack. And it's by the title Federal Reserve Act 1913, Your Remedy in Law. Federal Reserve Act 1913, Your Remedy in Law. I'm telling you, absolutely masterful presentation regarding the origins of the Federal Reserve Act, particularly Section 16, in which it describes the United States note that is the inelastic currency, U.S. notes, the redeemability of those with FRNs. It's etched in stone. It goes back to the Savings to Suitors Act, a clause of the Judiciary Act of 1789, and it's codified in Title 12, Section 411. Yes. Title 12, Section 411.
That's the obligations entirety of the United States. Section 411 is obligations. Fed Reserve notes are obligations of the United States.
Yeah, he gets into that. He gets into that, but he then identifies the. And that's the purpose of FRNs. It was supposed to have been for government functional activities.
Right. Now, and David Merrill, Section 83?
Hold up. Let him answer. Let him answer, Fred.
Did David Merrill write about Section 83 and services not being a taxable event? That if you render a service to anyone of quid pro quo, there was not a taxable event at that moment.
I think somebody else, I've heard that presentation in the past. The people up in Seattle, they had a public access presentation weekly. I can't remember the title. We versus Gov. Forgot the guy. He used to advertise on RVN, actually. I can't remember his name. WeVGov.com. Yeah, Section 83, they got into that intimately. That's phenomenally. But no, this presentation is predominantly regarding the Savings to Suitors Clause and the fact that we should all be engaged in our commercial activities utilizing United States Treasury notes, which is part of that act, and it's codified. And the last one I want to bring out is UCC Connection, Legal Fraud, Free Yourself. UCC Connection, Legal Fraud, Free Yourself. That's a super stellar presentation. See, Ron, I think people need to have an absolutely stellar foundation, a stellar foundation of knowledge, empowerment on the principal tenets of the statutory legal system and the tactics that are routinely deployed for the purpose of extortion. It's all the courtroom process is all legalized fraud, extortion, racketeering. And this guy at Lighthouse Law Club in that presentation, Admiralty Black's Law Equals Fraud. That guy was Mark Emery. Mark Emery. I wish there was a 2 or 3 hour episode weekly on RBN specifically on this subject matter, man. It would be absolutely awesomely empowering. All right. Now, what I want to say about Peter McCullough, okay, because you keep bringing this guy up. I remember hearing his presentations in the past, last year, several. This guy seems to have a love affair with vaccinations. And I'm not saying that he's endorsing the SARS-CoV-2 BioVax Divac, because COVID in reverse Divac is Hebrew for demon possession. No, he does not endorse that, but he thinks previous vaccines were A-okay. Well, let me tell you, here's my real-world experience. My dad took the FDA-authorized, approved flu shot every year. He was a combat veteran. His presenting symptomology 20 years ago was the same as it is now with the people that are succumbing to the BioVax Divac stab effects. It, you know, the autoimmune attacks on the major organ systems, the amyloid plaques, okay, that was found to be in my dad's heart and in his brain on autopsy. And you know what they told me at the University of Michigan? His cause of death was multiple myeloma, bone marrow cancer. When I checked the PDR, guess what? The FDA-approved pharmaceutical medicine poisons caused multiple myeloma. And the wizards at U of M said, well, we didn't know what else to do. We got to abide by the laws of licensed medicine. Yeah, forget.
Well, let me jump in real quick. The conversations I've had or texts and emails back and forth with Dr. Peter McCullough, I believe he is a pioneer. He's really on the forefront here with this movement to open up, basically educate people to the harms that are being caused by these COVID shots. Now he and I agree. We don't call them vaccines. They're not vaccines. They're not true vaccines.
Right.
They have,
I know that.
There's no prevention whatsoever. So we need to start off from the basics, basically saying, let's stop calling these things vaccines because they are not. He has taken vaccines in the past, and so have I as a child or here and there. I can't say I could just condemn them all.
Well, let me interject. Wait.
Maybe we have gone too far, and we have, but I can tell you into my life, by the time I was 18 years old, Ron, you probably could say the same. I think we only had about 8 shots. By the time I was 18 years old, I'd had 8 shots total. Now you're looking at, close to 60 or 70 shots by the time you're 18. Totally different scenario here.
Yeah, well, let me interject something here real quick. My mom was in dialysis 4 years, okay? And in the summer of August 04 or 05, they started pushing the annual, this was a quadrivalent. Okay, it was a herpes zoster hep B flu pneumonia, okay?
Yep.
So I demanded the research study data, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, nothing. The attending physician said, well, for some reason can't access it. I said, fine, my mom sure as hell isn't going to be injected. No problem, it's not mandatory. So I had her on a nutraceutic protocol at that time, starting at that time, end of August, early September, from an Air Force doctor, Ward Dean, out in Nevada. Well, the nutraceutic regimen restored kidney function. She didn't have to go back for 60 days because that's when the supply ran out, and about a week later she had to dialyze. So we go back, and normally there'd be 22 patients. There was one other one. So I asked the tech, hey, did they go on that Ontario Algonquin fall color train ride? I really thought that's what it was. She looked around, whispered, no, they all died. I said, oh, no, they took the shot. She shook her head yes, and then she whispered, I'm not supposed to tell you this. FDA-approved Wonder Drug annual quadrivalent flu shot for your longevity. No. Andrew Molden. Check out Andrew Molden's book. I found it at, originally, that was at healthimpactnews.com. Paul Newman's son, Alex Newman. Healthimpactnews.com. Andrew Molden, Canadian-American dude, who was, I think, murdered at age 44, he authored the book, Every Vaccine Causes Harm. Every vaccine causes harm. So you want to talk about depopulation? Fine. talk about the good vaccines, okay? It's still a farce.
Fred, we could go on. You've got that's 13 minutes I've given you. That's a record. Right. I don't think I've ever given any 13 minutes.
All right,
I got to move on. We got some other stuff we got to talk about. We got 10 minutes left of the show. Appreciate it. You dropped some good stuff for Ron to take a look at. I appreciate that calling back in tonight. Ron, let's get into the January 6th thing you and I talked about. Again, you and I, why did the Department of Justice allow the Congress to convene, come together, and basically overstep the Department of Justice, create this Star Chamber committee, this biased Trump-hating committee to find, I guess, something they could find to disqualify Donald Trump for 2024. The Congress has gone beyond the legislative branch and has decided to venture into a new territory, I guess, the judicial now. And you and I would probably agree that they've become the judge, the jury, and the executioner now. And nobody seems to have a problem with the overstep of this legislature.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you speak of the Congress, they do have the authority and jurisdiction to create committees. No one's arguing that point. However, when it comes to insurrection, the Insurrection Act of 1807, only the president, through a proclamation, may declare something an insurrection.
Right.
In this case, currently, we have the Congress declaring an insurrection. And the thing is that it's like they're using or usurping the power of the president when they do that. You know, the Achilles heel in the Insurrection Act is that it does not define what an insurrection is.
You and I talked earlier. Now, we were talking, 2 weeks ago about this. I thought that an insurrection, a true insurrection, is to take over the government but by use of force. Is that not a current definition we follow now?
Right. Well, the actual defining is, you know, the power comes from in the event of an insurrection, rebellion, or unlawful combination of either of those. Mm-hmm. So was it a rebellion there? Was it an insurrection there? Well, it can't be unless there's a proclamation put forward saying it was a insurrection or a rebellion. Now, the only way the president could declare it to be an insurrection, he has to do it through induction. And what I mean by that, he has to go into history and see what was declared an insurrection previously. Then he has to use the same rules to declare this insurrection if the elements align. Well, there's nothing for him to look at when people unarmed go into the White House or into the Capitol. So that's the problem. There was only one case, and it was a civil case, that actually gives a defining of insurrection, and it was Pan Am World Airways versus Aetna Casualty Insurance. And in that case, they said an insurrection requires an intent to overthrow a lawfully constituted regime. Well, where's the intent to overthrow anything on January 6th?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, a handful of people enter the Capitol, and they're worried about what? They're gonna take down the government? A handful of people? I mean, come on.
You can't do it by words.
No, it's not.
No, you have
no,
to
have for the
force.
Most part, people were behaving themselves. They were there to protest, and in the right manner, in the right way of doing so, to contest this election that we know was stolen. And I mean,
right.
Ron, you weren't part of that broadcast that one night, but John and I sat down and we did a 6-hour show and we watched it. We watched the flipping of the numbers. We watched the inverse. And so it was stolen. It was stolen. And the people realized that a guy that sits in the basement who doesn't campaign, he cannot win an election. He cannot win an election. He never won a debate against Donald Trump. He pretty much went in the basement and somebody else did the campaigning, the mudslinging, everything. Biden, you just stay in the basement. We'll take care of all this thing. And that's exactly what they did. They fixed it. They rigged it. And they told him to stay in the basement.
Well, Steve, I hate to pop your bubble on this one, but this man has gotten the largest number of votes of any president in the history of this country.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. No, I don't. You know, what's funny is that when Biden said that, the most votes ever in history, boy, did you see Barack Obama's eyes bug out of his head. He was ticked.
Yeah.
He was ticked. How dare you say that? I mean, you remember how Biden, Obama used to talk about Biden. You know, if you want somebody to screw it up, F it up, give it to Biden. Yeah. That's actually what he said about his vice president. He had no faith in Joe Biden to do anything. That's why I'm saying the vice presidency is not a good grooming ground for experience to do anything, certainly not to become president these days. But he said, yeah, if you want it, you wanted to see it screwed up, effed up, give it to Joe Biden. So, then to claim that you had the most votes, wow. Is that brass or what?
That is. I mean, from his basement the entire time, he did no campaigning.
No.
And he got the most votes. That's just, what a lucky guy.
Yeah, just a really, really lucky guy. Just doesn't have to do the work. And, he gets the grade. You know, sit in your basement and we'll take care of this for you. You know, Ron, I still haven't figured out. Nobody's ever addressed this. I don't know who to address this, you know, give this question to. But the servers in a foreign country to tabulate the votes of this presidential election, the last one we had, I can't understand how they can be in a foreign country. Do you have any understanding of how that's allowed? Servers were in Frankfurt, Germany.
And the Dominion machines are not supposed to be on the internet. So
exactly.
Go figure.
Yeah.
How did it get to Germany?
It has to go through the internet, correct?
That's correct.
So it is connected to the internet. They're saying, no, it's not. Yes, it was. Yeah. I still don't understand how it got to Frankfurt. I don't understand how elections tabulated are in a foreign country for America.
I know. It makes no sense.
Isn't that what? Fraud just built in the system. That's fraud built in right there.
Yep. Definitely. But I'm not surprised. We do live in a economy that's inflating. Most politicians are in someone's back pocket anyway, so it doesn't matter who you are and who you vote for. You know, will they do a great job? I don't think either party ever really accomplishes everything they want to do or say they want to
do. No, they never do. Well, let me ask you, this short period of time we have left here, your prediction on Donald Trump coming back or not?
Oh, yeah. He'll come out on the 14th or 15th. And say he's running. I'm sure of it.
All right.
Hopefully.
All right, everybody. The show is over. I appreciate everybody called in. We didn't get a lot of callers tonight. But if you want to give a donation to the network here to kind of replenish the coffer here, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. We do appreciate it. And again, I will be back in the studio again on my show on Sunday. That's Off the Beaten Path. And looking forward to that again. I got a lot of good material here. Thank you again for joining us tonight on the Tribute Show for John Stadmiller. Thank you for listening. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Censorship. TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.